Well, it was a wonderful week. I can't believe it's over already. You know, sometimes me and Pastor talked about this just the other day. You do all the months in advance of planning and, you know, inviting kids and writing lessons and getting the service order and getting anything down, and it's all gone. All done just like that. And but it's been a wonderful week, and I thoroughly enjoy just, you know, spending time and reaching out to kids, and that's what it's all about. I thank God for the two new bus riders this morning, all the parents that were invited on Friday. I mean, we had, what, in the 30s most of the week, right? And then 90-something on the last night of Vacation Bible School on Friday. That's a big jump. And all glory to God for the three souls saved and decisions made and all the work that went into it. Thank you. If you had a part in helping with Vacation Bible School or teaching or bringing in snacks or giving candy, thank you for all that. And it's, you know, I might be the guy that's up here teaching and getting some of the all the credit, but in all reality, if it's not for the church members stepping up and doing stuff, this VBS wouldn't have happened. Right. Yep. So, you know, I thank you because it makes my job easier. It makes, you know, the kids listen better when everything else just goes very smoothly. And I believe this year went really smooth, went really good. Everything was just fantastic. And again, all glory to God how it all went. Beautiful weather all week, and it's been a wonderful time. Let's turn your Bibles in the book of Jude, if you would, please. Jude 22. Jude 22 has kind of been the theme verse. I mentioned it most of the nights, and it's a theme verse we've kind of stuck with for the entirety of VBS and use it as a springboard to mention many of the different lessons that I've talked about this week. In Jude 22, the Bible says very simply in this short verse, "And of some have compassion, making a difference." You know, you look at the whole first responders theme that we had here, and we kind of capped it off with the grand finale being First Responders Day today. And but, you know, all those individuals, all those different groups of people that we looked at Monday, we looked at the group of people we looked at Monday were the EMS, so those that work on an ambulance. And I thank God for those people. I thank God for the individuals who, all hours of the night, they're always on call, ready to help somebody in need at a moment's notice. And Monday night, I shared a personal testimony that I had in my life of a time when I needed someone in an ambulance. And I have had the ambulance called. I have epilepsy. I've had three seizures in my life. I've been in the hospital two times because of it now. I haven't had a seizure in several years now, praise the Lord. But when I was in high school, about a year away from going into college, I had a seizure, and I needed an ambulance. I needed those trained individuals, those EMS professionals, and I don't know if I would be here had it not been for those individuals that you know, were trained and were responding at the call of duty when 911 was dialed. So personally, I've experienced how important it is to have those people available. And we looked at the story of the Good Samaritan on Monday night and the fact that there was that certain man who was on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he wound up getting jumped and beaten by a band of thieves. And as he's laid there half dead, three individuals came to him. The first one was a priest. And the priest, when he saw him, the Bible says, he just walked on the other side and just kept on going. Then there was that Levite, that second individual, and we would think maybe a priest or definitely a Levite would seemingly help somebody in need, but nope, that Levite just walked right on by as well. But then there was that third individual, that Samaritan, who saw that half-dead man laying there in the road on the way to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and he helped him. The Bible says he picked him up, and he bound up his wounds and he cleaned them up a little bit. And he put him on his beast of burden and he rode him into town. But he didn't stop there. He got him all the way to town. He brought him to an inn and he told the innkeeper, "Whatever this man needs, I'll pay for. Whatever he needs, give him a room, give him food, whatever he needs, I'll pay for it. If you use all my money, I'll come back and pay it all." And I gave the illustration how the Good Samaritan is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we're dead in our trespasses and our sins. We need Jesus, a Savior. And I thank God, as we mentioned on Friday, Jesus is the greatest first responder. But I thank God for that Jesus is the greatest picture of that Good Samaritan. How he came along and he saw me dead in my trespasses and my sins, but he helped me up.
He died on that cross to pay for my sins, and he said, hey, there's a price that they can't pay. I'll pay for it all when he went to Calvary. And I thank God for the greatest gift we could ever ask for, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And every single night I mention and emphasize that point, how important Jesus is in the lives of these children, but not just these children, but the lives of everyone in their families and around the world. I tried to emphasize so much that it's all about Jesus. Yes, we have fun with the games and the candy, but really the emphasis of the entire week of Vacation Bible School, as it should be, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank God he is that picture of an individual who paid a price that I couldn't pay. Just like that Good Samaritan paid for everything that man needed. If he needed medical attention, he paid for it. If he needed a room and an inn, he paid for it. If he needed food, he paid for it. Well, I thank God I have a sin problem. And I express that to the kids, that we all have a sin problem. As I explained it, there's that three-letter word that starts with the letter S. Sin. And they were so good with many of the questions they answered and their attentiveness each and every night. Well, that was just the first night, talking about the Good Samaritan, emphasizing that special group of people that take the time and work on that ambulance squad. And then we went to Tuesday night, the second night of Vacation Bible School, and we looked at the second group of people we looked at this week. That was the police officers. You know, it's unfortunate, and I even mentioned this a little bit, and I'll emphasize it here. It's unfortunate that society today is disrespectful to our police officers. I'm not for that. I thank God for those individuals who sacrifice their time and their energy and the time away from families, literally putting their lives on the line to protect and to serve. Are there a few bad apples? Sure, but there's few bad apples in any profession, not just police officers. And it bothers me that those few bad apples ruin the many thousands upon thousands of good ones that have families and are doing their best to protect us in our communities. I thank God for those people. Those people should be applauded. Those people should be held up. Those people should be respected and thanked for what they do on a regular basis. They put up with things that we can only imagine. They put up with drunken individuals and violent individuals. And they go to in places and they get threatened all the time. I thank God for our police officers. We mentioned Psalm 46:1, and it talks about how God is a very present help in trouble. And just as those police officers are there and we need them to protect us, I thank God we serve a God who's the greatest protector of all. And I mentioned the Bible story found in the book of Daniel about Daniel in the lion's den. He had old King Darius. A group of people came together and kind of told King Darius, Darius, we think it would be a good idea if you sign a law for 30 days that no one is able to bow down or make petition to anybody, any god, except for you. The king said, all right, that sounds good to me. I'm a king. I'd like that. And he signed it in the law and sealed it. Well, Daniel, being a man of God and a highly respected individual in the empire, wasn't going to bow down, wasn't going to pray to anyone but God Almighty. The Bible said he had his windows open toward Jerusalem, and three times a day he got on his face. He didn't pray to King Darius. He prayed to God Almighty. And I emphasized to the children that day, I said, that's the only one we ought to worship is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Well, some of those individuals saw Daniel praying that day and subsequent other times, and they reported it to the king. Well, as I mentioned, Daniel was a very respected member in the kingdom. When Darius found out that Daniel was the guilty one, the Bible says he was very displeased. Well, when a law is signed by order of the Medes and Persians, the line that is signed could not be altered or changed, just the way it was in those times. So as much as Darius didn't want to put Daniel in that lion's den, as was the punishment for breaking that law, he needed to, because the law could not be changed or altered. And so he did. Daniel was punished to be thrown into a lion's den, and it bothered Darius. All night, Darius did whatever he could to try to stop it from happening, but he couldn't. Next morning, he woke up, rushed to the area where that lion's den was, and he made petition to Daniel and asked him if he was still alive. And Daniel piped up, he was. And he said the hand of his God had delivered him. What an amazing thing it is, but how God shut the mouths of those lions in that story in the book of Daniel. But then we need to realize and understand something. The same God who protected Daniel is the same God who's still alive and well today. Paul says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as we go about out and about in society, and as we're going about our daily lives, God is still a very present help in trouble. And as we go through our trials, and as we go through our situations, and as we're faced with things in our life that are seemingly hard, God is always there. And I'm thankful for that today. And I thank God for those police officers who are there to protect us. But I'm very thankful for God Almighty, who is our very present help in time of trouble. Wednesday night, we looked at a third group of individuals, a third group of first responders. Again, Monday, we looked at those EMS individuals. Tuesday, we looked at police officers. And Wednesday, we looked at firefighters. Those individuals, as many of them were represented here today, a good group of them, who go above the call of duty and rush into burning buildings to save children and individuals alike. And they put their lives on the lines. And yes, they may wear protective suits, but that can only go so far when subject to great intense heat. And they'll rush to car accidents and try to rescue individuals out of crushed cars or burning vehicles. And they'll go into burning buildings. I gave an illustration of where I live in Laurel, Delaware. We have a very good Chinese restaurant in Laurel. Amen. And I like Chinese food. I don't know if anyone else does here, but I do. Amen. That's good eating, in my opinion. And it was a really good Chinese restaurant. Every time me and my wife were home, we always made an emphasis to try to get some Chinese food from number one Chinese restaurant. Sounds very generic, but oh man, it was good. It was one of those hole-in-the-wall places that maybe you look out the outside and be like, I don't know if I want to eat there, but those are the best ones, just saying. And it was good. It was clean on the inside. I loved it. It was great. And we were away from home preaching one day, and we found out that the whole building had been engulfed in flames. Not just the Chinese restaurant. The Chinese restaurant was on the bottom. It was a giant brick structure, and there was other buildings in it, and then apartments on top. The pictures don't do it justice. The fire was so intense and hot that it melted the steel beams that held that building together. It was so intense that the buildings next to it have black char marks because of the intenseness of that flame. There were five or six fire departments and individuals, scores of individuals there trying to put out that fire in the main town of Laurel. And I thank God for those firefighters. They had to go into that, not only in that restaurant, but they had to go up to those apartment buildings and make sure. And praise the Lord, nobody was injured. Not one person went into it. It's an entire, I don't know, it was probably a 10,000 square foot building. Nobody was hurt. I thank God for those firefighters rushing to the scene and going to that burning building and making sure nobody was hurt. But they go above the call of duty to save, again, to save people's lives. Again, they ought to be commended as they were today and thanked and applauded for what they do. And if I remember correctly, all the individuals here, they were all volunteers. All the firefighters, all of them that were represented here, I think from Cochranville, I don't know if all of them were, but at least from Cochranville, every single one of them, by the way, none of them were paid. They all did it on a volunteer basis. That's amazing. In fact, they're not even doing it for money. They're doing it literally just to help people. They have other jobs, they have families, and yet they're taking time out of their schedule to do those things. I thank God our job that we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ is even more important because we're working for eternity. And I thank God that I have an opportunity to volunteer and do everything I can for the Lord Jesus Christ on a regular basis, every single day. But on Wednesday, we looked at another Bible story found in the book of Daniel. Old King Nebuchadnezzar was the king at this time. It was prior to Darius, earlier in the book of Daniel. Nebuchadnezzar thought it'd be a really good idea to make up a golden image of himself. And he did. And he made this golden image and said, hey, you know what? I like this golden image so much, I'm going to play some music. And when the music plays, I want everyone to bow down and worship the golden image of me. And he did. He played that music. And all the instruments played and everyone bowed down. But three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. They're Hebrew names. And those three Hebrew boys refused to bow down to that image of Nebuchadnezzar because they knew what God had said. Again, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Yes. Nebuchadnezzar thought it was a mistake. He thought, well, maybe you didn't hear the music properly. He was starting to get a little agitated and angry. And he said, I'm gonna give you one more chance. And he played that music. Again, all the instruments bellowed out. And everyone bowed down again. But Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down to that image. And they didn't go. They didn't bow. Well, the punishment for not bowing down to that golden image was to be thrown into a burning, fiery furnace alive. And Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, he was full of fury and rage. He was so angry in all of his pride. He was so angry that he told the soldiers, he made a command. He said, not only do I want you to throw them in that fiery furnace, I want you to crank that temperature 7 times hotter than it's ever been before. The Bible records that the fire was so hot that when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were thrown in that fiery furnace, the soldiers that threw them in instantly perished from the intense heat, that the wave of heat that hit them. So he threw them in, didn't think anything of it. A little time passes, and he snicks a stroll at that fiery furnace, and he gazes in. He counts Shadrach, 1. Meshach, 2. Abednego, 3. 4. Wait a minute. He calls all his individuals in his kingdom together and said, How many of you throw in? Shadrach, Meshach, 3. You told us those three individuals, those three boys who wouldn't bow down. That's who we threw in. The Bible records that when Nebuchadnezzar looked in that fiery furnace, he said, and he counted 3, but he said, and the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. And I explained to the kids, and as during that lesson, I said, I don't know about you, but there weren't many people in the Old Testament that had an opportunity to walk with Jesus. And yet there Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the midst of a fiery furnace got to walk with the Son of God. What an amazing testimony. They opened the door to that fiery furnace and out walked Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, completely unharmed and untouched from that intense, 7 times hotter fiery furnace. And the Bible records that not a fabric of any clothing that they had was singed. Nothing was burned. They had every piece of hair. They had every fold of skin. They had every piece of clothing. It was all there, untouched. Not only that, as Pastor mentioned this morning, they didn't even smell of smoke. Now, whenever I go to a campfire or go camping and I get around a campfire too long, my clothes smell like smoke after 3 wash cycles. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't even smell it one bit. Nebuchadnezzar, in all of his pride and all of his rage and all of his fury, was immediately humbled. And he himself proclaimed how great the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was. And I gave the illustration. I told the children, everyone there that was there Wednesday, I said, you know, there's something a little worse than a fiery furnace. Our memory verse that day was, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. And I explained to the kids how the fact that there's individuals saving with fear, pulling them out of the fire, but the fire that they're pulling people out of and telling people about Jesus and trying to rescue them from is a fire a whole lot worse than a fiery furnace. It's the fires of hell. It mentions hating even the garment spotted by the flesh, talking about the corruption that the flesh and sin can bring in the lives of individuals. And it's because of that corruption, it's because of that sin, I can't get into heaven. It's because of that very corruption, it's because of that sin, I deserve a place in hell. But it's Jesus Christ, the greatest first responder, as I mentioned Friday, and I mentioned every night, who saved me from an eternity there when he died on the cross to pay for my sins and 3 days later rose again. And I gave the illustration to the children. I told them, I said, hey, the greatest gift you could ever get is the gift that Jesus Christ has given to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son,
that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That was Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Thursday, we looked at a kind of a combination of several different groups of individuals. I know police officers have their hand in this, and EMS do, and firefighters do as well, and others, but it's the individuals that go above and beyond the call of duty and help those maybe at sea, or at lakes, or ponds, or rivers. It's individuals that go out into the water and rescue people. You can even group the Coast Guard. I know that's a branch of the military, but they're still important people, not to be discredited or discounted. And we looked into the book of Mark. Now, Jesus was always had a congregation, a multitude of people following him, and he wanted to go from where he was to the other side. And obviously, at that point, there was a body of water in their way. And I told the kids, I said, well, if you wanted to get from point A to point B and there's a big body of water in between you, what are you going to use? And they all said a boat. I'm glad they said that, by the way. I'm glad they didn't say car or bicycle or walking. Because there's only one that's walked on water. Well, it's actually two, but there's one that really walked on water. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter did a little bit, but then he sank. I can't walk on water unless it's ice, but that doesn't count, okay? We looked at an illustration how Jesus was tired and he got on that boat and there was other little boats with him, people trying to get to Jesus and wanted to see where he was going, wanted to see what he was going to do next, and Jesus was exhausted. He was tired. We looked at that even this morning in the Bible message that Pastor mentioned. Jesus was fatigued. He was weary. He was exhausted. He was tempted like in all points like we are, yet without sin. He went through those things. And Christ was so tired on that boat that he went to the very bottom, got a pillow, and fell asleep. Well, while he was asleep, a storm came along. A very severe storm. The winds were boisterous and the waves were high, and the storm was so bad that the individuals in that boat with Jesus rushed down to where he was, woke him up, he was still asleep, and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Pretty much what they were saying was, Jesus, don't you care? We're all about to die. This boat's going to sink. We're going to capsize. We're about to get a big wave hit the boat, and we're all going to be gone. What did Jesus do? Well, he got up, maybe stretched a little bit, as we all do when we wake up. I know I do. And he probably stretched, got up, walked outside, and we have those famous three words that he said next. Peace, be still. In the words of the individual who created everything in existence, the very words of Jesus, that storm completely stopped. The same individual who spoke the world into existence, the same individual that was there during the creation of the universe and had a hand in doing it, spoke once again and calmed it all down. The disciples were amazed, and those individuals that were with him kind of scratched their head, and Jesus looked at him and said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? Don't you realize who I am? Don't you realize I'm literally in your boat? They kind of, at the end of that story, the Bible says that they marveled. And the Bible actually says, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Here they were traveling with Jesus. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do, but they didn't really know who Jesus was. And I asked the question that night, do you really know who Jesus is? All these people were thronging at Jesus, and they wanted to be around him. Some maybe were even his followers. And they said, who is this guy that these winds and the sea even obey him? What manner of man is this? They didn't even know who Jesus was, what he was capable of, being the creator, the very Son of God. And the question I ask is, do we really know who Jesus is on a personal, spiritual level? Oh, we might come to church, we might do the things that we know we ought to do, but do we really know Jesus? And I put it plainly to the children. I said, has there been a time in your life if you accepted Christ as your Savior? Do you really know him personally? Every single night I try to make an emphasis on the gospel and salvation. I believe it's important to try to reach that next generation for the cause of Christ.
If all we're doing is having VBSs and playing games and not giving them the gospel, what are we doing? That's the point. That's the purpose. To reach into these homes and reach these kids and run those bus routes and try to get their families here and give them the gospel, something they probably never even heard before. As I mentioned one of my messages last Sunday, yes, there are people in America that have never heard about what Jesus has done. Our country is a mission field. And we need to do our very best to reach them with the gospel. And then Friday, and lastly, I kind of did what I'm, a little bit of what I'm doing tonight and kind of gave a synopsis, and I put it all together. And you could take your EMS and your police officers and those that work on the sea and the firefighters, and you can group them all together. But there's one that trumps them all. As we've heard this morning, it's the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest first responder. He went above the call of duty. He went above and beyond. He looked down in a sinful world. And all the way back in the book of Genesis chapter 3, God had a plan to redeem mankind. Right after the fall, right after Adam and Eve's fall and sin, God was already preparing a way to redeem mankind. And that redemption was going to be through his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus willingly came, was born of a virgin, lived 33 years, and then went all the way to Calvary to die on a cross to pay for the sins of the entire world. The greatest first responder. Those Roman soldiers didn't kill Jesus that day on Calvary. No. Jesus gave up the ghost willingly. Jesus chose and said, okay, my deed is done. It's time for me to go. But he didn't stay dead, folks. He arose 3 days later, and I'm glad he did. And I'm glad tonight that Jesus is still alive and well. He's ascended. He's on the right hand of the Father today. And that same Jesus is still alive. But there's a world out there that needs to know about that first responder. There's a world that needs to know about who Jesus is and what he's done for them. The entire week, the emphasis, yes, was on different groups of people and their importance. But the emphasis all week was about Jesus and who he is and what he's done for these children, the parents that were here Friday, everyone here tonight, maybe people watching and everyone outside the doors of this church. There's a world that needs to hear about Jesus. What are we doing about it? Again, I count it a privilege and a joy to have taught this week at Vacation Bible School. It's always a joy and privilege. This is my first one of the year. I have four more to go. But I always count it a joy and privilege. Whenever I get an opportunity to give the gospel to children or their parents or have a part and help out any way I can, that's why we do what we do in evangelism. To try our best to go out in the communities and help churches just to reach that next generation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you, church. Thank you, pastor, for allowing me and my wife to be here. It's been a joy and privilege. And I thank God for the three souls that were saved and the seed that was planted, maybe in other hearts that didn't make decisions yet. And I encourage you tonight, maybe you're sitting here and you don't know Christ as your Savior. I encourage you, if there's never been a time, I don't know everyone's heart, and I always mention in every service, every time I preach, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, remember, he is the greatest first responder. He's given you a gift beyond any gift you could ever imagine. Let's do something with it. Don't keep it to yourself. If you are saved, tell somebody about what Jesus has done for you. Pastor.